name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love these Wednesday evening liturgies, but I love this one even more. Because look, there you are, a nice sized congregation akin to a Sunday liturgy. Touched by that, glad that you came out. The usual Wednesday evening liturgies are dear to the few of us who come. We average maybe 10 people. But they're spoken liturgies. This one is better because it has Gwen and Julie. My text for this sermon is from Romans chapter 12, verse 17. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians. He's speaking to people who bear the name of Christ. And he says this, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Do not repay it. Do not repay evil for evil." Later he will say, "Overcome evil with good." I want to start off with a simple idea. Do not, those of us who bear the name of Christ, let us not recompense evil for evil. Now, does this go beyond what flesh and blood is capable of? No. We are human beings. God has granted us freedom. Even those who do not claim the name of Christ are capable of doing this. They are capable of declining to return evil for evil. After all, there are dangers involved in returning evil for evil. For one thing, if we do that, if we return evil for evil so that we are entering into evil, we might thereby make ourselves breakers of the law, and the court might arrest us and send us to prison. But beyond that, even if the court has no protest, even if the court does not mind that we were to return evil for evil, there's still the chance that the one to whom we return the evil will raise the bar and return evil to us. He might punch us right in the nose. And we all know that. We're reasonable. We can think things out. We're capable of simply declining to recompense evil for evil. But St. Paul is after something higher. He's after something better than this. St. Paul wants not simply to train the fist, even more, he wants to train the heart. And therefore, his saying, "Recompense no one evil for evil," falls under the earlier heading at the start of this reading, which goes like this: "Let love be genuine." That is, there is such a thing as a pretense of love. But that's not what St. Paul wants. He wants in Christians that their love be true, that it not be the appearance of love, but it be the real thing. And even more fundamental than that is the caption at the start of Romans chapter 12, where St. Paul says this, "Present your body as a living sacrifice to God, as is your spiritual worship." Present your bodies, present your body and soul, present your entirety of yourself to God as a living sacrifice. And I preached on that text on Sunday a week ago. And there I suggested that what St. Paul is inviting Christians to do here is to enter into the manner of life of God himself, a divine way of life. For our God, the maker of heaven and earth, is willing to sacrifice. The Father is willing to give his only begotten Son, to give, to sacrifice, to surrender his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. And the Son, in turn, is willing to sacrifice his own life. He lays down his life. The world might have some hope. Maybe that it might have life and have it more abundantly. So, these other sayings of St. Paul about let your love be genuine and do not recompense evil for evil are part of the meaning, kind of the spelling out of what it means that we should present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Let me mention two cases of people who have done this, people who bear the name of Christ, who have declined to return evil for evil. Do you remember the name Terry Anderson? Now, Terry Anderson was a journalist for the Associated Press in the 1980s. He was assigned to the Middle East. About 1985, sometime there in the middle of the decade, he was abducted from the streets of Beirut, Lebanon. He was put into the trunk of a car. He was moved around from place to place. All told, he was held captive for 6 years and 9 months. Other U.S. citizens were also abducted and held hostage, held as prisoners. But Terry Anderson was held the longest. Eventually, in the year 1991, he was released. And he said this, "I am a Christian. I bear the name of Christ. I must forgive." Terry Anderson still lives. He's still talking about forgiveness. In fact, I think he has an assignment as visiting professor at Columbia University, right here in our town. He was born in Ohio, but he grew up in our state of New York, a town called Batavia, out in western New York. So many years have passed since then, but he's still talking about forgiveness. Let me tell you about another case, another movie case, and this took place earlier in the 1980s. I mean the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II. He was in St. Peter Square. A Turkish gunman, a trained gunman, shot him using a Browning 9mm semi-automatic pistol, shot him. The bullet perforated his colon and small intestines many times. The Pope was rushed into a hospital, but in spite of the immediate care he got, he nearly died. I didn't realize it at the time, but this was a terrible wound. He was in surgery for 5 hours. He lost, they say, 3/4 of the blood in his body. It took him a while to recover. But when he did, he went and he visited the man who had tried to kill him, a man named Adza. Adza, when he shot the Pope, was tackled by a nun and restrained. Other people held him down. And he was arrested and he was tried and he was sentenced to life in prison. Many years have passed. I think now, as an old man, he has been released from prison. But a few years, maybe within 2 years after his injury, the Pope went into the prison and he talked with Adza. Afterwards, the Pope said, "I cannot tell you what we spoke about, but I can tell you this. I addressed him as my brother, whom I have pardoned, and in whom I have perfect trust." This is a Christ-like thing. This is playing in the theater of heaven. This is walking in the power of God. This is playing before the angels. This is bearing the name of Christ as if it makes a difference in life. Now, Jesus Christ himself is our great example of refusing to return evil for evil. but instead always seeking the good. Now, we know that of Jesus. We know that he continually, steadfastly chose the good. That's what he was like. But perhaps we should not think that this was easy for him. After all, we have to reckon with that saying in Hebrews, that Jesus was tempted in every manner such as we are. We know what it is to be tempted. He, our Lord, was tempted in every manner such as we are, yet continually chose the good, continually declined to sin. You and I are a more mixed race. We choose the good a lot, but alas, we fall into sin too. We tend to have some mercy on ourselves. We tend to have mercy on one another, and well, we should. Well, we should have affection on one another, even if we detect in one another some failures, some disappointments. I mean, how can you look at a poor mother and father working with all their heart to try to take care of their little ones, even if they have some flaws and they make some mistakes? You've got to just admire them. You've got to love them. Well, Jesus does too. He looks at each of us and loves us, mixed race that we are. But there's this difference. The one who looks at us and loves us is one who has not followed our path. When we were tempted into sin, and he was too, we too often parted ways. He continued in purity. We fell into sin. Yet he who is pure looks at us and loves us still. The pinnacle of that is his word of forgiveness on the cross. Our mixed race, crucified as he was dying, as life was ebbing from him, he looked at those who did him harm and he said, "Father, forgive." We who bear the name of Christ are called to that kind of a remarkable generosity of spirit. We are called to decline recompensing evil for evil, and instead we are invited to overcome evil with good. When we do that, we will be walking in the manner of Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, to the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.